This is Idaho Matters. A couple of hundred people gathered to protest racism and police violence in Missoula, Montana on Friday. It looked and sounded like a usual rally, but interspersed between signs that read Black Lives Matter and No Justice, No Peace were about 20 white men and women carrying handguns and AR-15s. With support from America Amplified, our Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie explains how they got there.
Justin and his buddies look like they're from a special ops team. They've got beards, they're wearing flak jackets, and carrying assault weapons. But they aren't military and they aren't police.
I see myself as a concerned citizen who happens to be armed.
Justin and the others won't give me their last names, but they say they're here to protect the right of protesters to demonstrate peacefully. However,
if somebody starts acting up, three or four of us go grab them and remove them from the situation.
So you're going to grab them and then, but like, then why have the gun if you're just going to grab them?
What if they start shooting?
Then you would shoot back.
I'm not going to bring fists to a gunfight, man.
This kind of scene is playing out at rallies across several Western states and the country. Armed civilians showing up at protests over the death of George Floyd. Their presence is fueled, in part, by a widespread rumor on social media that Antifa activists are coming to small towns and cities like this to incite riots. That's why Calvin is here holding his AR-15.
I'm not racist. I have zero problem with the people protesting. I support it 100%. But I don't support my town getting burned down.
But the chances of Missoula getting burned down by Antifa is close to zero. The rumor has been widely debunked by local law enforcement agencies across the country.
They're not true.
That's Missoula Police Chief Jason White.
We've got no credible intelligence that leads to any truth of those social media posts.
But some guys like Calvin aren't having it.
I don't know. They don't have any credible proof they're not coming either. I look at all the other cities they showed up in.
The persistence of this debunked rumor has real consequences. For example, according to the Peninsula Daily News, a vacationing family in rural western Washington was harassed by some locals who accused them of being Antifa activists. They even chopped down trees and trapped the family at a local campsite. So what prompts this sort of behavior?
We do see people sharing these messages out of fear.
Joan Donovan studies online extremism, social media, and disinformation campaigns at Harvard University.
The idea of an outside force coming in and invading your small town in particular does feel threatening.
But she says Antifa isn't really an organized group that can do something like that.
Antifa operates as a designation similar to the way that someone might describe themselves as a punk rocker.
Still, she says, there's been a lot of disinformation about Antifa coming out in recent days, even from the president and his attorney general.
You also have a right-wing media ecosystem that is pushing this narrative.
The origins of this narrative are still unclear. But according to a Twitter spokesman, the white nationalist group Identity Europa, also known as the American Identity Movement, did just create a fake Antifa account to spread similar rumors. Either way, this false narrative is spreading like wildfire on social media, prompting armed civilians to go into protect mode. But that isn't making Missoula protester Aaron Giefert feel safe.
What if somebody does shoot or one of these cars backfires and then someone starts shooting? Like, that to me has far more potential for violence and recklessness than anything else.
Giefert's concerns are common at this rally and at others across the country where armed civilians are showing up. But there are a few, at least here, who think maybe their presence is a good thing.
For safety reasons, I am going to be using a different name.
That name is Marenike Akawumi. She's helping lead Missoula's protest, and she has felt at risk. And that's why she turned to a couple of the armed civilians.
I have a pretty big target on me, so I had requested that these two folks that are ex-military please, like, escort me places. Because, you know, I've been getting followed around. I've been having pictures taken of me.
She sees these guys as people who care about the community. But Harvard University extremism expert Joan Donovan warns this trend of armed civilians can lead to vigilantism.
And that kind of vigilantism can get dangerous very quickly, because if you try to stop people or detain them under the color of an authority you don't have, that could instantly lead to deadly consequences.
As for the local police in Missoula, they say it's a delicate balance. But so long as everyone is remaining peaceful, they won't step in. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie.
And that was Nate Hedgie with the Mountain West News Bureau. We're going to talk with Nate right after this quick break. You're listening to Idaho Matters. More of Idaho Matters right now. Nate Hedgie with Mountain West News Bureau is joining us live on the phone. If you are just joining us, we just aired a piece that Nate reported on about a rally in Missoula, Montana, a protest that happened on Friday, protesting racism and police violence. In the midst of that, though, there were white people, men and women, who were there carrying handguns and AR-15s. And Nate, first off, thanks for that reporting. But I also want to say, can we start with the folks that had the guns at this rally in Missoula on Friday? Do we know, were they militia? Were they white nationalists?
So the folks I talked to said they were unaffiliated with any kind of militia group. You know, in their case, they were just armed men and women from an area called the Bitterroot, which is a more conservative part of Western Montana. That said, Montana's chapter of the Three Percenters did show up at a rally up in Kalispell, which is about an hour north of Missoula. So in the sense of Montana as a whole, it was a mix of militia members and just kind of regular old armed men and women.
So I guess that might be part of the problem, right? Is that when these people do show up with a gun to a rally, I mean, nobody really knows what their intentionality is. I mean, or who they're representing for that matter. I mean, unless they're wearing clothes or symbols that clearly signify a group they're with, I would think.
Right. Yeah. People, I mean, all these protesters see are people with AR-15s, camouflage, flak jackets, sometimes just a handgun, kind of walking around on the outskirts of a protest with a couple of them walking through. And so I think there was a lot of confusion, at least here in Missoula, over what these folks were doing here. And of course, as you look across the region, you know, it's been a full spectrum of people who have shown up at these rallies in terms of, were they counter-protesters, people who were angry that folks were protesting racial injustice and police violence, or whether they were there to quote-unquote protect the protesters from any kind of violent outside agitators. It was just a full spectrum, but the general feeling was one of unease, I would say.
Yeah. So do we know, was there violence, any violence at that rally in Missoula?
No. There hasn't been any violence over the past week. There's been talk of people being followed by other people. I wasn't able to suss out who those folks that were following protesters were, organizers were. But no, there's been no violence that's broken out.
So, you know, last Monday in Boise, an 18-year-old fired his gun during a protest right at the State House. And it was first described, and this is a quote, as an unintentional or accidental discharge. That's how Boise police put it at first. Last we heard, though, police are now investigating this as to whether or not it really could have been intentional. So although there was not violence, I mean, it could have ended that way. Do we know, has there been violence at other rallies where armed people have shown up? I mean, outside of Missoula.
There's been threatening. So in Philadelphia, there was a group of men who walked around with baseball bats and were threatening violence in case people were going to loot businesses and things like that. I haven't seen any moments of violence yet with people with guns outside of the Boise incident, obviously, with somebody discharging their firearm. But I think the general concern and the general fear is that when you bring a guy with a gun to a protest, it could be, as that one woman in my story described, it could be a car backfiring. I mean, you heard how loud and raucous it was at that protest. You know, a car backfiring, a miscommunication, and a shot could be fired. So I think the risk of that happening greatly increases, obviously, when you bring guns to a protest.
You know, we should note, Nate, that, you know, even though there was not physical violence, and thank goodness for that, there are One picture in particular that is going around social media is of a Black woman in Montana. She has a mask on, holding a sign that says, "Say their names." And there is a white man who is literally in her face, right? And there's a post on social media about what happened in that. And you know, there may not have been a gun, but he was literally as close as you possibly could be to someone. And the quote was that he said, "Black lives matter, F you, F you." So there is still heated emotion that could potentially end in some type of altercation, whether there are guns or not. Did you see anything like that at these protests?
Missoula was a weird one in the sense that there was some co-opting and cooperation between armed men and women and some of the organizers there. One of the organizers was essentially having two ex-military guys run security for her. And so there was a distinction between, you know, I guess the counter-protesters and then these armed men and women at the Missoula rally on Friday that I attended. That said, obviously, throughout the region, we've seen these angry outbursts. Up in Sandpoint, for instance, protesters canceled one of their rallies because organizers canceled one of their rallies because of feeling threatened by armed counter protesters who the mayor up there called vigilantes. And so, Missoula, I think, was a little bit of an outlier compared to the rest of the region.
Can we talk about some concerns? I want to find out if this is merited or not. And this is, we do know that in Coeur d'Alene and Lewiston, there have been white people who have been concerned that organizers from Antifa outside of their community were going to come to these rallies. They were going to incite violence, which prompted people to stand on street corners armed with AR-15s to protect their towns against that threat. Is that concern real?
No. I mean, the concern, there are definitely many, many people across the country that are concerned about that, but law enforcement agencies have essentially debunked that rumor. You know, here in Missoula, for instance, they looked into it. There was no substantial, no evidence to show that this was happening. But at the same time, you have, you know, a president who just today suggested that man in Buffalo, the 75-year-old man in Buffalo that had been knocked down by police was an Antifa agitator or organizer. And I think the thing that people don't understand about Antifa is it's a very loose network of leftists that fight occasionally violently against anti-fascists in the same way that, as that woman in my, as Joan Donovan in my story said, you know, it's the same way that you'd be designated a punk rocker. This is not Al-Qaeda we're talking about. Right. It's not an organized group. And so, no, there are no busloads of Antifa activists coming to your town to wreak havoc.
And we should note that that 75-year-old gentleman is a Catholic who works in Catholic charities and who has been known to protest for human rights. So let's just make that clear too. Hey, Nate, thanks so much for your reporting. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And if you have questions about race and maybe you don't know how to talk about it with your kids, we'd love to hear from you or hear from your children about questions they have. We're working on a program for Monday. You can email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu, or you can send us a voice memo. Also, our medical experts are on tomorrow about COVID-19. If you have questions, get them in today to us so that we can ask our experts for you tomorrow. Same email address, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Thank you all for continuing to be a part of Idaho Matters, for supporting us, for allowing us to come into your homes and your cars or wherever you listen. Maybe it's in a podcast form. Just appreciate you being a part of this. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It is Tuesday. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you back here tomorrow.